Bible still teaches in the book of James. Amen. To anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith shall heal. It actually says save, but that word also means heal the sick. Amen. Do we have anybody that's ever received a healing in your body? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the way God heals. Amen. I've seen the Lord do miraculous things because he's God. Amen. And I'm blessed tonight to serve a God who still heals. There's still healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you thankful for that victory and that healing tonight that Jesus still gives? Amen. He heals broken lives, hurts. Amen. Whether it's a hurt that somebody's caused you, amen, an inside hurt, outside hurt, physical hurt, amen. I'm glad that Jesus is still the great physician. He hasn't stopped, amen, and I'm glad tonight to know who he is. Amen. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me tonight to Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 10 and 11. Amen. I love my daily Bible reading. Amen. How God always, always is right on time, confirms his word. Amen. I think it was last Tuesday night, Kara and Matthew was telling me that the boys, amen, they had just learned about some things and they just talked about some things. And during that lesson that night, amen, guess what? The Lord, amen, it wasn't just pastor, it was just the Lord, the way God confirmed some things. And don't you love the way that God is always on time? He's on mark and he's on time tonight, amen, to do. And this morning in my personal Bible reading, amen, the Lord had already dealt with me on some things. And of all places, Isaiah 43, 44, and 45 was my Bible reading this morning. And when I got the verse, of course I knew it was coming. Isaiah 43:10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant. You are the witness and the servant whom God has chosen, that ye may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I am the Savior, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior, he is saying. Verse 12, I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. You are the witness. Amen. Then, if you want to turn with me to the book of Acts, the 17th chapter, Acts chapter 17, and verse 22, Acts 17, 22. The book of Acts, chapter 17, and verse 22. We read at verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. Mars Hill was a place in Athens where they went and worshiped all the different idols and all the different figures and gods they call gods. Paul, in the midst of Mars Hill, said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. Verse 23, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. They had all these different gods, but Paul said, I found one of them that you had with the label to the unknown God. Then he says, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Paul goes on, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and he dwelleth not in temples made with hands. He's not confined to what man makes. Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything. Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood of all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the boundaries of their habitation. Verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if happily that they may feel after him and find him. And though he be not very far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Are you thankful that we have a God we could seek, we could feel after, and we could find, and he's not far from every one of us? Amen. Oh, I want to talk about living proof tonight. Living proof. Living proof. I want you to close your eyes with me right now. Would you pray with me, Lord? Would you prove tonight your glory? Lord, give evidence tonight, Lord. Show us your power. Show us, God, your glory. Show us your will, your hand, your mercy. Let your word come alive tonight in our presence. God, we ask it, we believe it, and we trust you tonight. Let it be done. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask. And somebody say that name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. He said, you're my witnesses. Amen. You're my witnesses. Christianity is more than a memory. Many religions are built upon the memory of a founder. But we are not. We do not merely celebrate what Jesus did, but we rejoice in what he's doing. Our faith is not built around an empty philosophy, but it's built around a living Christ, that Jesus is alive, and he's alive right now. Paul did not preach once there was a God. I'm glad he didn't say it once upon a time, but he said, there is a God. Can you look at your neighbor and say, there is a God? And Isaiah did not declare that he created. He declared that God, he said, I am he. I am the creator. That same creator who stretched out the heavens. Amen. That one that was there. He never was the creator. He is always the creator. He's still the creator. He hasn't lost that power of being the creator. And the same God who stretched out the heavens by just speaking it still reaches and mends the hearts of those that are broken. Have you ever had your life broken? You ever been disappointed, depressed about something that happened to you? I'm glad to know that our great creator still can create in us a brand new you. Amen. The same God who formed Adam still forms new creation. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Amen. I don't know about you. I love it when Jesus comes alive in somebody's life as the creator. He'll take you and you become a new creature, a new person. Old things are passed away. Are you thankful that your past can be passed away? And behold, all things become new. Living proof tonight that we have a God. Isaiah said that you are his witnesses. I want you to notice God never said that you are his attorneys. He didn't declare debate everybody. He just said you're my witness. You're the one that will carry the evidence. You're going to carry my evidence. And a witness simply tells what has been experienced. And the great, great religious answers have never been an answer of philosophy, a logic. There are people that try to logically declare even the things of God. But I want to tell you the greatest answer has never been an explanation. The greatest answer has always been a transformed life. The transformation, how God will take somebody and make them a brand new person. Are you thankful that the God we serve still transforms lives? Amen. I look at some of you and I remember when you first came to God, how that when you came, you were broken with inhumanity. You were bound. You were addicted to more than Alka-Seltzers. Amen. You had all kind of problems in your life, and you couldn't break free from these chains of addictions. But when Jesus came aboard your life, amen, Jesus made a brand new you. He did more than break the chains, but he took your position of being a inmate to life and made you a liberated individual and a brand new person. Are you thankful Jesus still does that? Isaiah 44 said, Jesus is the Lord speaking, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Are you thankful that there is just one God? I don't have to be like the Athenians and go to Mars Hill and say, which God are we going to go to today? What do you need, honey? You know, we need to go to aisle 6 and go and look on aisle 6 because you know what we need today? We need God to let it rain outside. So we need to go look for the rain God. No, we don't have to go to aisle 6 to find a rain God. And all of a sudden, your wife looks at the list and says, you know what else we need, honey? We need, you know, we've been hurting. We need some healing in our house. Well, that's aisle 32. And aisle 32, and you got to get some help. We're looking for the healing God. Can somebody help me find? No, we don't have to go to the market to find a God or God. I'm glad that when I come to the Lord Jesus, he is a healer. He is a savior. He's a provider. There's just one God tonight. Woo! Are you thankful tonight? There's one God, and how beautiful it is. We know that he's one, but when he is number one to you, amen. Oh, there's nothing in between you and God. He said, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there's no God. He also said, I formed the light, I created, and I made, but I'm still the I am. I'm still able to create. Amen. How beautiful to know that God still can. I want you to notice the verbs. Amen. I am. I am first. I am last. Amen. God is not introduced as a retired creator. He is presented as the eternal creator. Amen. He didn't lose creative power after Genesis. He still creates. He still restores. And he still transforms. Amen. The application is this. People often ask, is there still proof that God exists? I want to give you the answer that God will give. You want proof tonight? You want evidence tonight? Amen. The evidence is not just out there looking at the stars. Amen. Oh, the evidence is not out there looking at the sun, but the evidence is looking at my people. Look at what God will do in the life of a person that will say yes to God, that will look to God and say, God, I know you're God. I know you can. I know you're able. But Lord, I don't want you to be a God out there that can. I want you to be my God. And I want you to be number one in my life. Amen. How beautiful what God will do when somebody will let God be God in their life. Look at your neighbor and help me by saying, let God be God. Living proof is more than religious experience. Religion can produce habits. Mm-hmm. Religion can produce you just come to church and you just do the habits. And even in our church, there's people have learned to clap their hands out of habits and don't mean anything when they clap their hands. When you clap your hands, it should be an applaud to somebody. Amen. Yeah, have you ever been or heard of golfer hand clap where they just barely? That's not too much of an applaud. Amen. But when you give God an applaud, it ought to be the best you got for God, right? That's the reason why the Bible says, oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Tonight, amen, I believe God gets the applaud, don't you? God should have the highest of my praise and the highest of my honor. Amen. Every day of my life, he deserves my best because he's still number one. Is there proof in your life that God is one? But religion can produce habits where you could just go through the motion, right? Religion can change, schedules to where a person starts saying, you know, I go to church, but you going to church don't make you a Christian. Like going to McDonald's don't make you a... Y'all have heard me say that enough. Amen. They first, the people that go to jail ministry hears me say that first. And we started saying it in here because I want you to realize that going to church, just being a Pop-Tart Christian, don't make you anything. Amen. God wants a people, amen, that the Spirit of the Lord would change your nature. Man, I love it when the Lord changes me. The person that I am in the mirror is a horrible man without God. Without the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, man, all things start falling apart. The Lord is my super glue. He holds me together miraculously. Amen. Isn't it amazing when super glue was invented, Brother Williams? Amen. Just a dot of this stuff will be going to do marvelous things. Amen. There's super glue. There's all these different types of glue now. Epoxies and all this. Monkey glue, gorilla glue, all these different glues. But I'm glad that God is the thing that will hold you together when super glue won't do. Amen. What a mighty God. I tried super glue at times and it didn't do. I tried monkey glue and I made a monkey of myself. But friend, my Lord knows how to hold me together. Amen. I love the scripture that I read the other day in Deuteronomy. Underneath are the everlasting arms of God. Everlasting. Amen. I'm telling you, God has everlasting arms. Duracell can't keep ticking with him. Amen. Are you thankful that the Energizer Bunny can't keep up with God? But God is an everlasting God. Amen. He don't quit. He don't rest. He don't fade. He's power tonight, and he's in this place tonight. He's still God. Amen. Religion can fill a church, but only Christ will fill a heart and a life. John, the 7th chapter, Jesus stood up amongst all the religious dignified, and he said, out of belly shall flow rivers of living water. And Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You drink of this water here in Jerusalem, and it hadn't done a bit of good for you. You need more than Jerusalem water. You need Jesus to flow in your life. You need the Spirit of the Lord. The rivers of living water still moves. Living water refreshes. Living water produces life, but dead water produces stagnation. Dead water, amen, becomes stale. But living water flows. The Holy Ghost is not simply another experience that you could remember. It's a source that continues to flow inside of you. Let me help us tonight. The Holy Ghost is not a diploma. Once you receive the Holy Ghost, that you could sit back and say, I got the Holy Ghost. It was 1978. I received the Holy Ghost. And no. It's not if you have the Holy Ghost. The question, does the Holy Ghost have you? The Holy Ghost is not a diploma. You don't have to move your tassel. The Holy Ghost is a beginning. It's a birth certificate. And the Lord wants something birthed in your life. God wants a beginning. Amen. Oh, friend, Jesus is looking to be your creator and give you a Genesis. He wants to flow in your life and be real in your life. Now, Paul preached about a God who can be found right there. In the midst of Athens on Mars Hill. Mars Hill was a high hill outside of Athens. It's still there. And it was filled with religion. Our world is full of religion, but empty of God. There were temples. There were altars. There were statues. There was ideas and philosophies. And Paul came across an idol. And the inscription said, just in case we miss one, let's make a God that is an unknown God. And Paul says, you worship here all these different things. And I walked by and I seen that you had an inscription to an unknown God, just in case you missed one. Well, the one you're missing, I want to declare him to you. Aren't you thankful today that the Lord God is still God? God hadn't diminished. Amen. The paint of pictures of Jesus may have faded, but Jesus don't fade. His picture's still alive and vibrant. He's alive tonight. And the Bible says we are his witness. We have evidence tonight that he's alive. There before Paul was two major religious theology mindsets. There was the Stoics. The Stoics were very stoic. They believed in self-discipline, self-sufficiency, self-determination, and strength they felt came from yourself. So they were the type that they felt like you just had to have self-control on everything. How many have tried to have self-control before and you can't find it? I just want to tell you, I don't have self-control without God. It still takes the Spirit of God working in your life. You could be a good person, but hell's full of good people. Good people don't go to heaven. Spirit-filled people go to heaven. So the Stoics felt like, you just be a good person, that's all you need. Then there was the Epicureans. The Epicureans, their whole goal was pleasure. They felt, man, if it feels good, do it. And the whole thing, they felt, if God exists, you know, if he exists, he's a God that's distant. He's not involved in our life. He's not personal. He definitely is not near. And Paul begins to tell them, he shattered both of their philosophies and their religions. Acts 17:27, he said, God, though he be not far from every one of us, we could reach, we could seek him, and we could find him. What a statement today. Our God is not distant. Our God is present. When I was in first grade, I didn't go to kindergarten. We lived so far back in time. Amen. We didn't have kindergarten. I'm sorry. Amen. I went to school in Louisiana. But in first grade, think with me. First grade, second grade, third grade, I went to old school. And when they called the roll, and when they got to your name, you had to say, present. So when they got to Brent Crosswhite, I would say, present. And when they said, David David, David would say, present. Richard Richard, present. Irene Cooper, present. Lizzie Cooper, present. Two sisters there. And David David was a person. David David, you spell his name. But they would say, present. Tonight when I call on God, I'm glad that my God is present. He's a present God. Amen. He's not inaccessible, but he is accessible. He's not hidden. Amen. Saying, oh, I'm going to hide right now. Amen. I'm not obscure. Amen. He's alive tonight. He can be found. He's not playing hide and go seek, but he's come in the open tonight and said, hey, I'm within reach. I'm in the place tonight, and I'm here to do a work in your life. The Bible says we have to feel after him. You got to do something. You got to reach and connect with him. And the picture is beautiful here as Paul's describing. It's like somebody, have you ever been in a dark room and you were looking for the light switch? How many people that you know that are seeking and looking for the switch in life for something? They're trying everything. They're trying to find God. They're trying to find what may be God. They're trying ideals. They're trying religions. They're trying philosophies. They try this and they try that. I want to tell you, only Jesus will transform you. How do I know? Because you're looking at somebody, amen, that's been transformed. How many today can lift your hand and say, I have evidence that God still transforms. He still makes a difference. He'll turn your darkness into light. Amen. My God takes and makes what is impossible possible. Amen. Paul said, God positioned mankind so they would search, discover, and know that he's not far off. I'm glad that God's not a long-distance call. In fact, a long-distance call is an extinct word now. Used to be when I was a kid, it was long-distance calls. Today, I don't think there are any long-distance calls anymore. Amen. We have cell phones. But I'm glad that God, amen, it's not so far out that he don't hear your cry. The evidence of a living God is this. I could whisper his name. We sang tonight, sister, you talked about the name, that name, that name, that name, that name. I could whisper his name in the darkest hour and find Jesus. Pastor, what do you do when you wake up in the night and you feel that eerie feeling in your room? Don't you know pastors feel that too? Don't you know the devil's always after me, evil and fear and all these different things come against me? Have you ever had a moment like that, Pastor, when you knew evil was present in your room? Oh, yes, I do. I've been at time I woke up and things were in that room. It wasn't just dark. There was something in the dark. But friend, when I said Jesus, when I called on Jesus, something began to happen. And it was a transformation. My mom and daddy taught me when I was afraid, just say the name of Jesus. Amen. And there's times I could not say Jesus. I could not get it out of my mouth. Amen. And friends, somebody come up with a song. J-E-S-U-S. He's the Lord and King. I start spelling the name J-E-S-U-S in my mind. And pretty soon, friend, oh, darkness and whatever else in the darkness had to leave. There's still power in the name of Jesus. Woo. How many has ever called on that name and felt power? How many knows without it? Do you have evidence? I need somebody with evidence to raise their hand in court tonight. Amen. And say, amen. Oh, I have been there and I have found. When I whisper the name of Jesus, amen, there's a power, there's a glory, there's a transformation. Hey, I found the light. Amen. I found the way. I found the truth. And I found my answer in Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody ought to applaud God right now. You ought to give the Lord a hand clap and a shout. You ought to magnify the Lord and acknowledge him tonight. He's the Lord our God. Like the song that we sing, what a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. You ready for this? And even the devils believe that there's just one God. And when they believe, even the devils believe in one God. The Bible says, if you believe in one God, you're doing well. Because the devils also believe. And what do? They tremble. The devil knows the power, amen, of God. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you what the devil fears. He doesn't fear a preacher. He doesn't fear a pastor. He doesn't fear somebody that knows and quotes their Bible from page to page. But he fears somebody who has the evidence or God alive in their life. Amen. A walking with God, saint of God. Amen. The devil fears you. If you have a relationship with God, the devil fears you. The devil's afraid of you. The devil can't stand you. But I'm thankful today that, amen, it's not me. Amen. I know it's not me, but it's the God of heaven that lives in me. Because God's number one in my life. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. To live inside people. In John, the fourth chapter, there was a woman who came to the well. She was at noonday. She came to the well and she found somebody sitting on the well. It was Jesus. And Jesus said, can you give me to drink, something to drink from this well? And the woman said, how is it? You're wrong color and kind. And you're asking me, I'm supposed to be the outcast, and you're supposed to be the person in. How in the world are you asking me for a drink? You folks are prejudiced. Why would you ask me a drink? Jesus turned it around and he said, lady, if you only knew who is asking you for a drink, you would have asked me for a drink. Are you thankful tonight that Jesus don't see colors and creeds and all this different junk that we do? Amen. Jesus has the water of life for whosoever will. Hallelujah. And Jesus, the woman came for water, but Jesus offered the woman a well, rivers of living water inside of her soul. Not something beside you, but something within you. He didn't promise an occasional refreshment. He promised a continued life, a well springing up continually. I just want to remind you, living proof is not merely that Jesus walked out of the tomb. An empty tomb don't prove anything to me. An empty tomb don't prove anything to the world. We could get a big tomb and put it out of here and say, proof, Jesus is alive. That's not the proof. But the living proof that he lives within me and walks with me in me every day of my life. Aren't you thankful tonight that there is living proof inside your life? There's the God of heaven, earth, and sea, and he's resurrected in your life. No grave could hold him back. He's opened my heart and walked in. Living proof. In Acts, the first chapter, the Bible talks about he showed himself alive after his passion or his ways by many infallible proofs. That's a big word, infallible, which means these proofs can never be disproved. Jesus did not begin with blind faith. He began with existence, proof. There were eyewitnesses. There was miracles. There was resurrections of other people beside Jesus. There were signs. And you know what? A believer should have some proof in their life as well. We've always heard a little statement, the proof is in the... I want to tell you, the proof is in who lives in your life. Amen. The Bible says signs will follow them that believe. Not replace faith, but follow faith. Signs will follow them that believe. Think with me. Jesus said they're going to lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. I think that Jesus still heals. He still answers prayer. Prayer changed people's lives. Demons fled. Bodies were healed. Sin was forgiven. And the impossible became possible. The evidence didn't stop at the day of Pentecost, but it continues today. Living proof produces a certainty, a conviction inside of you. The evidence always would change when somebody, when Jesus inside, lives inside of your life. There's going to be a change of who you are, your behavior, your mindset. You don't have to have convictions to become spiritual. You develop convictions because somebody lives inside of you. I'm glad that Jesus is the fruit. And fruit is the proof. In other words, the Bible says there's going to be some fruit that begins to prove that you have the Spirit. It's called the fruit of what? The Spirit. Anybody knows what those fruit are? Love. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And the Bible says against such, there's not going to be a limit. There's no limit to this. Let me just tell you, fruit is not manufactured. It's produced. And your relationship with God will produce evidence. The Holy Ghost is not a behavior modification. It's a divine action and operation of God in your life. God, it's Jesus working on the inside, working on the outside. Amen. Oh, what a change will be in your life. Philippians says this in 2:13, for it is God that worketh in you. Notice not merely around you, but within you. Our God is still one of the strongest, amen, things, amen, in our life. I want you to understand that the whole declaration of what I'm trying to get to us tonight, our God is still the creator. He still makes all things new. He's still the great physician. He still heals. He's still the savior. He still forgives. He's still the deliverer. He still breaks chains of habits. And he's still the shepherd. He still calls. He still leads. He still comforts. He still protects. And he still corrects you. He's still father. He still welcomes the prodigal. He's still merciful. He still gives us what none of us deserves. He's still almighty because nothing's impossible to him. But the most beautiful thing, he is still present. Not was, but he is present. Calvary is the reason why we have living proof tonight. Isaiah prophesied years before Jesus came that he would be wounded, bruised, chastised, and striped with a whip. Why? Not merely to forgive sins, but to make his dwelling place within humanity. The cross was not only about taking us to heaven. It was also about bringing heaven into us. So Calvary was more than just a cross. It was more than a torture rack. But it was a key that heaven can be put in our life. We are living proof. Peter said this, be ready always to give an answer for the hope that is within you. Notice, not hope around you, but within you. The greatest argument that we have as a Christian against the world, that God still transforms life. We see people get peace that shouldn't exist in their life. You ever seen somebody go through something, they have peace, they have evidence. They have joy in the midst of their suffering. They have purity in temptation. They have love against their enemies. When you're able to love your enemy, that's evidence that something is alive in your life. When there's hope in tragedy, people don't see just you, they see evidence. Living proof. Not proof that religious works. We're not looking at that. We're proof that Jesus lives. Jesus is alive. And if somebody watched your life this week, what evidence will they discover in your life? Will they just say, will they conclude, well, he goes to church? Or will they say, there's something living inside their life? Because the greatest testimony has never been the building. It's not our music. It's not our program. It's not our history. It's not even our arguments. But the greatest testimony, there's something alive in my life, is Jesus. And Isaiah said, we are his witnesses. And the closing statement that I want to give tonight, the empty tomb is historical proof that Jesus rose from the grave. But a spiritual transformed life is present proof that he's alive. Amen. We're not merely believers in a living God. We are his living proof to this generation. And God is still the same. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Acts the first chapter, verse 8. But the evidence here, you're going to receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that you are a witness. Aren't you glad tonight that God will transform you and give you evidence that you know? Amen. It's not you. It's not what you've done. It's not by works of righteousness, lest any man should boast. But it's the power of a mighty God at work tonight in our lives. You're the witness. Amen. Let me tell you about Joseph. Was just a young baby. Joseph, we was in revival in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And Brother Ashworth was the evangelist. The little boy named Joseph had asthma real bad, and his asthma was not getting any better. And Joseph's family came to church that night. And that evangelist was there in that service. And right in the middle of it, Joseph had an asthma attack. And Joseph became, oh, he couldn't breathe, just a baby. And you could hear him gasping. Couldn't cry, couldn't breathe because of an asthma attack. His colors began to change very quickly. This little boy became very blue as he was starving for oxygen. And that mother ran to the front of that church in that revival. And let me tell you, this baby, ever since he was born, had to go to the hospital under oxygen, you name it, over and over again. But in that service, his mother couldn't stand it any longer. Her baby was in need, and they needed the hand of God right then in that service. And she got her baby, and she pressed her way to the front of that church. And I can remember that night, even when Brother Ashworth laid his hands on Joseph Brian Crosswhite, and God healed my baby brother that night. And never did he have asthma again in his life. That God is still my God today. He's still faithful. He's still present. And he's here tonight. Sister Crosswhite and I, just other week when we went to South Texas for our anniversary, I stopped at a house that we lived in, and I pointed to the driveway, and the house has been hit by hurricanes, and it's all raggedy and messed up today, but I pointed to the driveway. I said, that's where I stood that day to get on the school bus. But that morning, my dad said, we're going to have to pray. We got company coming, and we have no food hardly. We're running low, and we got company coming from Louisiana. We need the Lord to do something. I got laid off. Daddy got laid off. And I mean, man, we was in a bind. I mean, he hadn't got his check yet. And here we are waiting. But that morning when I walked to the end of the driveway, amen, there at that driveway, amen, was a deer that just got hit. That may be gross to you, amen, but friend, I ran back in that house and I said, Daddy, God has provided. Amen, I'm going to tell you, amen, God is able to provide like that. Amen, proof that God is there. Proof that God is well able. I have witness. I have evidence. What God can do. I've watched the Lord heal. Amen. People that were hurting severely. Amen. I've watched the evidence and the power of God's presence do a mighty work like that. Amen. Tonight in this room, there's Kara. Kara, we were there when that chopper was taking you off. Amen. And your father-in-law, Brother Danny, amen, we were there at a hospital that night. Amen. We'd already prayed for you in that room. I'm telling you where the hell in the hand of God was at. That in that ER room when we laid hands, amen, your father-in-law, Brother Danny and I, amen, Brother Larry, I don't know if you was in there too, but we prayed that night. Amen. I want to tell you, the evidence of God is sitting right here. The God that knows, and if he could do that much, he could do all the way and heal your body tonight. Our God is that kind of God. Amen. You want to show you some more evidence? Do you want to see some more evidence? I remember the day that I got a phone call. Brother Crosswhite, there's a girl that's wanting to come to church that needs you. This girl's desperately in need of help. She is bad off, Pastor Crosswhite. Would you help her? She's a friend of mine I work with. And, oh, she needs help. And I can remember when this young girl walked in. Amen. Oh, friend, I looked at her. She had a need. Amen. But, oh, stand up, Sister Kristen. I see the evidence of a God that changed and transformed that young lady. Amen. There's living proof tonight of what God can do. Amen. Oh, I remember the first time you come to the house of God, Rebecca Stan. Amen. I remember what God did for her and what God is doing for her. Her little sister, what God's done for her. Amen. Her family, what God's doing for them. Amen. Hey, friend, you can't argue with evidence tonight. We have a mighty God. What a wonderful God. And the great thing tonight, amen, he's not way out there. Amen, he's not out there in the universe. He's right here tonight. Woo. And I want to declare like Paul did on Mars Hill. I want to declare unto you that God, that we could seek him and we feel after him. And we could find him, though he be not very far from any one of us tonight. He's within reach. Hallelujah. Tonight he's in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen. I can remember Sister Crosswhite and I, after we had our first child, Katie, we were pastoring in Snyder, Texas. Katie was a preemie, very small. When Katie was born, the clothes that we had were way too big for Katie. I went to Toys R Us and bought doll clothes and brought them back. And that was her to-go-home dress. And after we got back to Snyder, where I was pastoring, for the first time, Sister Crosswhite left Katie with me. Just a little bitty thing. And I can remember thinking, wow. And we had a washing machine and dryer that was in our kitchen in that small parsonage. Katie was in a carrier car seat type of deal, and it wasn't strapped. I laid Katie on that washing machine. And when I turned around, Katie, that little carrier fell like this. And when I picked up my daughter, she was just a little thing. When I picked her up, she was lifeless. No life in it at all. And I can remember praying. In a matter of moments, something transformed in that room. And that baby started crying. We were afraid when my wife got there. We didn't have cell phones. We took her to the doctor. Not one problem. That's the God I serve. That God is in this room right now. I've seen God heal cancer. I've watched God heal my daddy of colon cancer like that. I've watched God heal people of heart problems where there are definitely heart issues. I've seen people that had cancer in their body where the Lord come through and the doctor said, I don't know what happened, but there's definitely no more cancer in your body. I know God's able. He's present tonight. Hallelujah. Stand with me in this place. Do you have evidence? Is there any evidence here tonight? Is there any evidence in this place? Are we just talking out of habit tonight? Am I just talking and beating the wind tonight to a people that's, well, I've heard this all my life. Oh, this is old stories, Brother Crosswhite. What kind of evidence do you have tonight? What evidence do you have that God is real? What makes you live and tick for God? Oh, man, this is the most important part of the service tonight. You could turn God off, or you could let God have his way right now. He's in this room to do a work and to heal and to prove that he's God. If you have evidence in your life and you know, I want you to get out of your chair and you know without a doubt that God's still able. I want you to come and stand. I want you to make your way. If it costs you effort, make your way. Living proof is here tonight. Living proof. Hallelujah. Recently, I heard a story of Stonewall Pentecostal Church in Houston. The man of God, his baby that went there, that baby was deformed, could not walk. The legs on that baby were twisted. Crippled. Pastor O.W. Williams got a hold of that baby and the church began to pray. Right there in the hands of Brother Williams, all of a sudden, that little leg just, that baby moved that leg. Moved the other leg. And when that child moved that leg, those legs and deformities straightened out immediately. That God is here in this room right now. Hallelujah. I want you to lift your hands to the Almighty God. And I want you to reach to Him tonight. Don't be afraid to lift your hands. Amen. That's evidence tonight. Lord, I lift my hands to You. I believe You tonight, God, for what only You could do. Come on, you have evidence. Begin to praise Him. Lord, You're holy. Begin to love Him. Lord, I thank You tonight for Your evidence. Come on, lift your voice, Saint of God. He's here. Come on, God's ready to prove Himself. Hallelujah. God's ready to do a mighty work tonight in a body and a heart. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. The book of James said, anoint with oil and pray the prayer of faith. Tonight, we're going to believe for Kara's miracle to be complete. No more seizures. If God spared her, God could heal her completely right now. How many has proof tonight God can? Won't you lift your hands right now and believe the Lord with me? Isaiah prophesied and ripped the stripes. Brother Shorty needs a healing and a miracle tonight. I want you to trust the Lord for this man. Brother Shorty's done it before. Amen. He has some tests come back, not so favorable, but that's okay. That's just a test. God is the answer tonight, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Somebody else is battling something in your body. You need to be anointed with oil, like the Bible says. You have a sickness, ailment, that you need God to heal you tonight. God's faithful right now. Is there somebody tormented in your mind by something? It's tormenting you, bugging you. Something maybe of your past that you want the Lord to take care of. Hallelujah. I want you to give it to the Lord tonight. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, living evidence tonight, living proof tonight. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands with me again to the Lord. Hallelujah. God, we give you liberty to work. Hallelujah. Come on, begin to praise and love and commune with him. Come on, love him back for what he's done for you. Lord, I love you. I thank you tonight, God, I thank you, God, that you're going to give Kara rest, Matthew rest. God, you're going to give them rest in their bodies. You're going to give them rest in their spirits. You're going to fulfill your word in them and fill them with a gift of life, Lord. God, instead of, God, depression, instead of all this anxiety, Lord, we bless you. We praise you tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your answer. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. The Lord's in this room right now. Amen. The other night, we were in Warren, Texas. And I hadn't preached in Warren in 30 years. And I took the pulpit and I told them about Katie, our daughter, whenever she used to come to church. And Katie always heard me say, the presence of the Lord is in this room. Katie thought we was talking about presence. And the presence of God, the gifts of God is in this room. The blessings of God is in this room. I just want to get a hold of them. I just want to get what belongs to me tonight. Amen. Praise God. How many's going to go with the Lord this week? Amen. It's Thursday night. It's first things first prayer meeting here at the church. And I want you to believe the Lord. Amen. For Kara and Matthew's victory. Yes, indeed. Larry, victory, bro. Hallelujah. Victory. I'm telling you, victory in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What a joy to have you in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. I want you to keep believing the Lord, trusting the Lord. Hallelujah. The promises of God are true. They're yea, the Bible says, and they're amen. That means says it, it's certified. It's definite. It's like the other day when we were in court, I watched Judge Sins take that gavel. And when he hit that gavel, it was law. So if the Lord said, amen, that means, Sister Lauren, it's law. If he says it, the Creator just spoke it. So be it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. Have a beautiful night. Keep praying for Kara and Matthew for victory and joy and peace in Jesus' name. Thank the Lord with me. Amen. Every time you think about them. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed. Let's go to heaven.